prayer is the key to the door of your heart. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Tuesday. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. Do you believe that? I mean, that's going to be the turning point in your life. If you still have some doubts about whether God cares for you, then you're going to waffle back and forth. You're not going to be able to handle the problems in your life. But if you believe, and this is a quote from St. Peter, so it's the inspired word of God. It's in his letter, first letter. Cast your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. So, if you believe that God cares for you, you can stand tall. You can walk spryly. You can laugh at the problems that you're faced with because God loves you. What's Isaiah say? If it is possible for a mother to forget the child of her womb, I will never forget you because I have carved you in the palms of my hands. Okay, now on Tuesday this year, I talk about prayer. And as I said at the beginning of the program, prayer is the key that opens the door to your heart. Remember, the doorknob to our heart is on the inside. So if we're going to let anybody into our heart, it has to be from the inside. And the way we let somebody inside, because you can unlock a door from the inside, is with prayer. Prayer is a heart-to-heart conversation with God. Prayer is the lifting up of the mind and heart to God. Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes people, and people change things. So I really want to encourage you to pray. But let's be frank here. Prayer is not magic, okay? A lot of people want it to be magic. They want to just say, well, I did ask. How come, God, you haven't allowed my prayer to be answered? Well, let me tell you about a case I didn't have too long ago. It wasn't too long ago. A mother called me on the phone. She was very upset with her older daughter. Her older daughter lived a life of sin and promiscuity. Was involved with a couple of men. Then she had a child. And when she had nowhere to go, she brought the child home. But with no real change of heart. And then for 3 years, the grandmother took care of the child. The lady who called me. And then all of a sudden, the daughter ups and leaves and takes the child with her. And then refuses to let the grandparents see the child anymore. After 3 years of being attached to that child. Well, they went to court. They spent thousands of dollars trying to get parental rights to see the child. She's calling me broken heart, the mother. She said, I wasn't praying that God would give me $1 million by winning the lotto. I just was praying that God would allow me to see my grandchild. Why wouldn't God answer that question, that prayer? Well, I told her, God would like you to see your grandchild. But God's not going to take your daughter's free will away. Love has to be free. God's not the problem here. Your daughter is. Her hard-heartedness. So I do understand, folks. As a priest, as a preacher, as a Franciscan, a Capuchin Franciscan friar, as someone who tries to pray a lot himself, I understand why some people get genuinely, genuinely frustrated about the fact that prayer is not automatic. And that's why I'm not so much sharing a prayer with you at the beginning of the program. I'm sharing a reflection. I don't know who wrote this, but it kind of explains how God listens to prayers and how God responds to our prayers, okay? I don't know who wrote this, as I said. It's called, And God Said No. I asked God to take away my pride, and God said no. He said it was not for Him to take away, but for me to give up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole, and God said no. He said her spirit is whole, her body is only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience, and God said no. He said that patience is a byproduct of tribulation. It is granted. It isn't granted. It's earned. I asked God to give me happiness. And God said no. He said, suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God if he loved me. And God said yes. He gave me his only son who died for me. And I will be in heaven someday because I believe. I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. And God said, ah, finally, you have the idea. Now, let's go through that prayer again, okay, with that reflection on prayer. Why won't God take away our pride? Because he would make us robots. It's so intimately connected to our personality that we have to give it up. We have to, as St. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he, Jesus, must increase. We have to let go of the part of our ego that is arrogant, proud. God will not come in and make us zombies. Now, the second stanza about wanting my handicapped child made whole, God's not saying no because he is against healing. We know how much God heals in a variety of ways, too. But most of the time, God lets nature take its course. And so, if the handicapped child does not get healed miraculously or through the advancement of medicine, then God will bless the child in another way. And we see that with many people with physical or mental disabilities. How they are a wonderful inspiration. Consider Helen Keller, for example. Now, have you ever heard the funny little statement, God, give me patience and give it to me now? Now, God's not going to give us patience. We learn patience as we grow older. We earned patience, as this reflection says. I asked God to give me happiness, and God said no. Okay? Happiness is not something you're given. Happiness is a byproduct of good living. Happiness is the decision you make in war-torn countries, being a quadriplegic, living in poverty. We choose happiness. It's not given to us. And yeah, I know some people are very, 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 very rich. And you might think, well, they're so rich, they're always happy. Nah. Read, you know, the magazines about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. They're not all that happy. Their lives are easier. But happiness, it's not something God gives. He gives us our life and he tells us, choose to be happy in the circumstances you find yourself in. Now notice the next two stanzas. You get a yes to it. Because, listen, I asked God if he loved me, and God said yes. He gave me his only son who died for me, and I will be in heaven someday because I believe. I believe, and then I act like I believe. That my actions really back up my words when I say I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in John chapter 17, Jesus asks the Father to love us as much as he loved Jesus. So, yeah, God really does love us. And that's why on Tuesdays I can say to you, cast your cares upon the Lord. Because he cares for you. No magic wand, okay? Prayer is not magic. Prayer is a heart-to-heart conversation with God in which, if we shut up and listen, God, through scripture or through preaching or through quiet contemplation, or through, some friend sharing advice, God will speak to you. Because God loves you. I mean, God really, really loves you. In the last stanza, I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. And God said, ah, finally, you have the idea. Most of the time, God gives us the ability to answer each other's prayers. That's why bad things happen to good people, is because the people who could have come to their aid, could have helped them, didn't. They were afraid. They were clueless. Or they were selfish. So prayer is a dynamic exchange between God and us, and the God who doesn't break into our life from the outside breaks out of our life from the inside, and that's why the prayer is the key to the door of our hearts. You know, we let God out. The God who dwells in us, and through our words and our actions, we're able to do wonderful things in our world. Okay. Here's today's food for thought. Written by a famous French Catholic philosopher named Jacques Maritain. He wrote, "Bread for myself is a material question. Bread for my neighbor is a spiritual question." You know what that means. What makes it a spiritual question? Because the spiritual question is, am I going to imitate Jesus? Am I going to be Jesus for other people? We may be the only person Jesus will meet, that people will meet Jesus in and through. We may be the only Bible some people may ever read. So helping other people is definitely a spiritual question. I want you to pray today. Here's our prayer partners. I want you to pray with people who have ALS. It's popularly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a neurological disease that slowly shuts down the body. The person is alert, but little by little, they lose all ability to move and all the functions of their organs. I've had some close friends die of ALS. It's difficult. Difficult for them and extremely difficult for their families. So would you please join me right now? Dear God, I call healing a blessing, the peace the world cannot give to men and women who suffer from ALS. Be with them in a very special way, God. Help their families, help them. Give them extra courage and strength. Give them the peace the world cannot give. Give them a joy that no one can take away. Bless them, please. And I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. You ready for today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh? Two wives were talking one day. The one said to the other, "I am on a golf kick. Whenever my husband mentions golf, I kick him." Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Just drop me a note and let me know you listened to the program. I would enjoy hearing from you. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. Send me a check made out to TASH, TASH, the Anacetaler Hospital, so I can keep my hospital for the poor and sick up in Oaxaca, Mexico. Visit my website, Father Scott, F-A-T-H-E-R, fatherscott.com. Love to hear from you. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. God of glory.